just been sprung. I'm not telling you what that's about. I have to Google it. Labor's promising a special economic zone in Northern Australia if re-elected, including a lower corporate tax rate, perhaps as much as a third lower than the rest of the country, the idea to be delivered by 2018.
A lower company rate for the Northern Territory has an explicit objective, which is to attract more direct investment to the Territory for Territory-based businesses. There are unique challenges of remoteness here. I get it. If we can manage it in terms of other arrangements like zonal tax rebates for other areas of Northern Australia in the west and the and Northern Queensland, then you'd look at those arrangements longer term as well.
So, perhaps a preferential tax arrangement for North Queensland and Northern WA. There you go. I should mention, of course, that the Coalition has previously promised a white paper on the development of Northern Australia, which also includes the idea of a special economic zone. So there seems to be some kind of bipartisan convergence on this issue, if not consensus. To discuss this and the politics of the campaign so far, I'm joined by two politicians who, I think given the events of the week, we can say it's a sad omission. Their sex appeal has so far gone unremarked in this campaign. Senator Arthur Sinodinos, Parliamentary Secretary of the Opposition Leader, previously Chief of Staff to then Prime Minister John Howard, and Andrew Leigh, Member for Fraser, previously Parliamentary Secretary to Prime Minister Julia Gillard. Sexy and dashing, respectively, I will say. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
thank you, Ali. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, mate.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that, but you're diverting attention from what I've just said about you, and I note you're taking the compliment.
Waleed, it's an election campaign, and our job is to make every voter feel as happy as possible.
I see.
And Waleed, to address your comment head on, I think sentences about the appeal of Arthur and I would invariably start the thinking woman's dot, dot, dot.
Yes, I think that's right. That's what they say when they really mean that you're ugly, but we'll make
exactly.
Concessions. Now, let's start with economic zones in the north. Wasn't it, Andrew Leigh, wasn't it not so long ago that when Tony Abbott started talking about this as a possible idea, everybody, especially on your side of the aisle, laughed in his face, told him this was an absolutely ridiculous idea and that he was therefore a joke of a leader?
Well, Waleed, we've always thought it's important to develop the North. We've done that through a nation-building program, through our remote jobs program, through defence spending. What we were concerned about in Mr Abbott's plan was a suggestion that you might redirect $800 million of the foreign aid budget towards building tropical health services in the Northern Territory. What we're proposing here is a much more targeted special economic zone with its own simplified investment rules, streamlined regulations and application processes for major projects, and expanding that Ord River scheme and putting in place the third stage of that.
Arthur, do you accept that this is remarkably different from what you'd suggested previously?
Look, just some context on all of this. Under the Coalition, towards the end of our time in government, we had commissioned some work about all of this, and then when we left office, Labor took it over, and essentially there was not great enthusiasm for pursuing it, and a lot was made of the fact that, you know, the environment in Australia can be fragile, and, you know, it's not possible to develop it along the lines of, you know, other parts of the country. But I think what's galvanised the Labor Party to do something about this is the fact that we launched a Northern Australia policy recently, and it's had a pretty good reception because a lot of Australians are into nation building. It resonates with them. So the idea of having a comprehensive set of policies which identifies the barriers to investment and to development of the North is something that actually resonates not just in the North, but in the south of in the southern parts of the country. And if we do the right thing in terms of the policies that Tony Abbott's enunciated on this score, we can actually have a situation where the prosperity, if you like, that comes to the north lifts the south as well.
You're both economists. You tell me. I was not under the impression that economists generally liked the idea of special economic zones.
Well, our policy is not going down the route that Mr. Rudd seems to have identified. We've talked more about identifying barriers like red and green tape, priorities for investment, better coordination between the federal government and the state government. We've been a bit wary of going down the route of being too specific about the incentives you might provide. That's why there's a white paper process to consult people and give people a chance to think about what are the best ways to promote development. But it's to meet the point that David Bradbury the member for Lindsay made before when he attacked our policy and said, oh, you know, there'll be roll gold in Karratha in terms of roads and it'll be at the expense of Western Sydney. Well, we're looking for a policy which actually promotes Northern Australia, but not at the expense of, you know, the southern parts of the country. What Rudd is doing essentially is just going for broke now, trying to match our policy and where policy and where possible go further in order to suggest that somehow he has a lock on this whole issue.
Is this one of these ideas that might sound okay when you articulate it, but no one really wants to implement? I ask because I've just got a text from someone saying, from Matt in Balgala, saying, so if Labor stays in government for longer than even Howard was in for, he might do something for the top end. Give me a break. There's a certain scepticism there, Andrew Lee.
But we've already done substantial amounts for Northern Australia, Waleed. And I talked before about the grants for community and social infrastructure and other investments in the north. Arthur's right, of course, to talk about the importance of building Northern Australia and the benefits that that can bring to the rest of Australia. But we need to be focused about this. And I guess the distinction that I would see between what Mr Rudd announced today and the broader, more sort of thought bubbles that Mr Abbott's been talking about is that ours is targeted, costed and focused on things like city plans for Darwin, Cairns, Townsville and Mackay, this Ord River scheme and simplifying regulation, something that Arthur talked about before as being important. Special economic zones can work well, and I think particularly for things when you're looking around investment and regulation, then they can be a useful way of experimenting with whether you're able to strike a better process for attracting corporate investment.
Okay, just before I move on then, yes, no question. Have you, both of you, checked that this is actually constitutionally valid?
Yes, that's
good
my
question,
understanding.
But I assume it's been done in the Territory alone at this stage because we have the power to do it there, is that right?
Yeah, I'm just interested in the free trade between states provision of the Constitution and whether or not this would constitute some kind of violation of that. Anyway, I just put the question out there. I assume you've looked into it, but we'll find out in the fullness of time if it is an issue. I'm interested in the issue of minority government. Yesterday on this program, we spoke to the Greens MP, Adam Bandt, and the preferences deal that obviously put the Greens last in every seat, according to the Liberal Party, and that's got ramifications for him in his seat. And he had these reflections on the way the last parliaments worked.
Instead of opening up the paper to read about legislation that's been passed to get more money into schools or disability care or climate change and so on, you're reading about internal Labor turmoil. Add to that a quite effective opposition leader in Tony Abbott, who denied the legitimacy of this parliament from day one and attempted to tear it down, and it leads to an air of instability, but it was actually a really effective functioning parliament. And to get, you know, 99 times out of 100, Labor, Greens, City Independence, Country Independence on the same page to pass some of the most significant reforms in this country's history is a really good effort, I think.
Interesting perspective on it, because both of your parties now have said you will not go into negotiations in the event of a minority government or a hung parliament to form a minority government. But doesn't he have a point that actually if you compare the 2010 election campaign and what was not in there and there wasn't much content, and then what the parliament actually produced, you've got the minority government to thank for it?
I think that's right, Waleed. I'll take the question. Arthur's welcome to dive into it. I think that there was a sense that we got a lot done during that parliament, that we managed to produce very significant reforms, nearly 100 bills passed through the House of Representatives.
Rule it out now?
Well, what we've ruled out is a formal coalition with the Greens. Not to say that we wouldn't be willing to pass legislation with their support. Well, you know, major parties have passed legislation with the support of minor parties in almost every parliament.
And okay, so, but when you say formal coalition, was the agreement in the previous parliament or this parliament, was that a formal coalition? Is that what you mean?
Yes, that's right. So what's been ruled out is signing an agreement of the type that was signed straight after the 2010 election.
So it's got to go to a re-election, basically.
Well, it's. I think had such an agreement not been signed, you would have found a coalition of parties come together nonetheless. Let's not forget, 2010 was a pretty special set of circumstances, so I think the chances that it recurs are slim indeed. We're better to focus on questions like, for example, when we get to see some coalition policies rather than these sorts of obscure questions.
All right, well, in that case, Arthur, let me let you reflect on the minority parliament and the successes of it, but you can respond to that broadside as well while you're there.
Look, sorry, I was just cut off and I just came back in, but I've heard most of the question. Look, I think the reason that parties are saying what they're saying, particularly our party or the coalition, is that the feedback we get from the people out there is they want majority government. They believe that provides greater certainty and stability in terms of policy making, because their perception of the last 3 years is whatever we say about legislation that's been passed in the parliament, there have been so many backflips by the government on so many issues. There's been this uncertainty around where policy will come out of the what policy will come out of the parliament. I think there are a lot of people who just felt we're more comfortable with majority government and let's go back to that. And don't forget that the Greens, by doing the deal that they did with Julia Gillard to give her government after the election, forced her to break a cast-iron promise on the carbon tax before the election, which I think fatally undermined her credibility in this parliament.
That's certainly the narrative. I've got to say, there is a scepticism in the electorate about whether or not you'll keep your promises not to negotiate in the event that a hung parliament is delivered. You might conveniently find the virtues in it, but I guess we'll have to see it there. Gentlemen, I'm going to have to leave it there, but it's been great to speak to you again. You've graduated from knights to models, I suppose, in the process. This is quite extraordinary.
Is that a sexist comment? Are we going to have a problem with that? We'll be in trouble?
No, I would say the same about men and women, therefore it's not sexist. Arthur Sinodinos, thank you for your time. Andrew Lee, thank you as well.
Thanks, Waleed. Happy birthday.
Great. Oh, thank you very much. He keeps saying it. I'm getting lots of texts about it. A lot of people sharing that birthday, so happy birthday to all of us.